Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that we have this confidence in this Savior, Jesus Christ, and that that confidence carries us through so many times in our lives with all the difficulties that we face. Now bless us tonight that we might hear your word and that we might be changed, we might be moved, and that God, you might use us somewhere, someplace in your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I was told to introduce myself. I'm Dan Faber, my wife Dale in the pink right there. We moved up here about a year and a half ago, but we've been visiting for about 7 years. And I'm a PCA pastor, and I run a mission organization called International Exchange Organization that has people in a lot of places around the world. But we started off in China 26 years ago. So I'm able to do that ministry wherever we live as long as I have internet and an airport. So that's who the Fabers are. And John has asked me to bring God's word to you tonight. I'm going to be bringing a message from the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not talking about our Father who art in heaven in those passages of Matthew 6 or Luke 11. We're talking about the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father after the Last Supper and before they walked through the Kidron Valley and he was later arrested. And so that is found in John 17. And what I want us to do as I read this passage, and having started off in seminary using the New American Standard Version, it's hard to get away from that when you have done most of your study through your life in that. But I am going to read from the ESV this entire chapter. But when I'm reading, there's a number of things I'd like you to just try to notice. In this text, we see all kinds of themes. And I got into this because, as I said, I take care of a lot of missionaries and mission organizations. And one of the things that people often ask me is, how do I pray for missionaries? And in China a number of years ago, back in the 90s, a Chinese pastor was having a meal with me, and there was all this controversy going on about persecution in China against the church, and all these people writing their congressmen, and they were involved with James Dobson and Focus on the Family, and they're writing all these letters. And this Chinese pastor says to me, he says, when they write their congressmen, they beat us, meaning the Chinese government. There was a sense in which, you know, we don't know how to pray for, like, our team that's in Kentucky right now, the Samaritan's Purse, or other family members, whatever the situation, for our pastor. But here in Jesus' prayer, our text for tonight, even though I hope I'm not wandering too much, is verse 15. He says, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. What a simple, clear guide for us understanding how to pray for our missionaries. Because a lot of times we say, oh, bring them home. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the Middle East, and get them out of Ukraine and, you know, wherever the hotbed is. And so as we read this chapter, this prayer, the entire 17th chapter is Jesus' prayer. There's a couple things I want you to notice. One is that over and over again, Jesus is focusing on the world. 18 times he mentions the world just in these 26 verses. And then there's a clear, succinct gospel message several times over and over again in this passage. And so try to notice that as we go along. And then there's something that you might notice also, that there's all these this, that statements. Actually, there's 16 of them. So there's only 10 verses that don't have a, you know, this foundational truth provides for your people that result. And so you'll see a bunch of this and that verses in this passage. And then we want to give attention to the many petitions that Jesus, the Son of God, makes to his Heavenly Father. And several of these references, right there in the first verse and the 11th verse and on again, he says, Holy Father, righteous Father. And these are never found anywhere else in the New Testament. The only places, and since this is the only of the Gospels that records Jesus' prayer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who could address his Heavenly Father in this very unique way that's not found anywhere else in Scripture. And so we want to look at those. There's all these petitions where he's asking to glorify himself, and he asks on our behalf. He says, keep them by thy name. Keep them from the evil ones. Sanctify them in the truth. He has a petition. He says, ask for the future believers, that's us, that they would be one, that they would be in Christ, like Christ is in the Father, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's one of the petitions that Jesus has to his Father, that the world would believe that you sent me. And he asks for, he has a desire that they be with him. Jesus says, I want them to be with me and behold my glory. So let us stand as you're able for the reading of God's holy word. And as I said, I'll be reading from the ESV. Hear the word of God. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have been given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now in verse 10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given to me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and I are. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Father, these words are beyond our comprehension and our ability to even utter utterances of prayer to you. And we are instructed, and we are blessed, and we are moved to understand and see and hear this very prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Now bless us as we look at some of these words and this message, that it might bless your kingdom here and around the world. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. An interesting side note as we looked at this passage, I don't know if you picked up on it, but there are all these parallelisms in this prayer. And as you've heard from Pastor John, a lot of times, especially in the Hebrew, you'll find the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's a repetition. There's a fulfillment of the first with the second. And we see this over and over again in Jesus' prayer. In 14, he's talking about that he's not of the world, and that we are not of the world. And then 17 and 19, it skips a verse each time. It's interesting. He says, sanctify them in the truth. And then he says, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified in the truth. And the word used there is not sanctification, the process of becoming better, but he has been set apart. I have been set apart to do God's will, and to even come to this point of death, that I might be able to bring men to you, salvation. And then 21 and 23, he says that they may be one, just as we are one, that the world may believe and they would be glorified. And then again in 23, it says he prays for unity, that the world would know that the Father sent Christ. And then 24 and 26, he talks about the love that the Father has for the Son from the very foundation of the world. And then in the last verse, he talks about love again, in which he says, the love which you love me, that love would be in them and in us as well. So a phenomenal passage. It'd be great if we could get our pastor to maybe do a full exposition of this over several weeks or months or whatever, because there's so much here. All I wanted to do was speak on verse 15, and I just kept you know, getting bigger and bigger. There's so much here. When we look at verses 13 and 14 as the context for our passage in 15, Jesus says, "Now I come to you, Father. I'm coming to you." Now, does he mean that he's departing the earth and that the ascension will take place soon? Or is he speaking of the mediator between God and man, and he's coming to the Father in this prayer? I don't know. Both is a supplication and a declaration that these you have given me. And he says this over and over again, too, the word these being us, and the disciples and then us. He says, "These you've given me, these I have guarded, these you have kept by your word, these who have been kept by thy name." I mean, what a phenomenal concept. I don't even know how to plumb the depths of that, that we, as God's chosen people, as those that he has redeemed from all eternity, he has kept us by his holy name. The power and the majesty of God's name is what keeps us and what has kept us and what has kept saints for all generations. This is a phenomenal thing. He says, "These things I speak in the world that they may have my joy made manifest in them, made full in them." He is giving us the full Trinitarian joy as the power of the Spirit through the Word and the Son and the Father in their fellowship. If you look at 1 John, so we're in the Gospel of John, and then the letter that John writes, the beginning of 1 John starts off with this whole theme where he is saying, you know, what was from the beginning and what we've heard and what we've seen with our eyes and what we beheld with our hands and handled concerning the word of life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you, he says, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the next verse, he talks about that joy that he also mentioned in the prayer. He says, "And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete." This is if you want to really understand some of what John is doing here, as you read his gospel and then you go to his five letters and read that as well, and you see these same themes that are mentioned. And so here Jesus is saying that you kept these people that they might have the full joy that we have, the fellowship that we have in the Trinity, that they may have as well, and they have that provision as well. And he says that his Father is our Father, and that we need to draw near with a true heart, a full assurance, as Hebrews says, whereby we call Abba Father. We have that, we can have that relationship. We can be in that kind of position with the Father that Jesus says he has. As we look at 1 John also, and in Galatians 4:6 is where it says the Abba Father. Now, in verse 14, you know, if you look at one verse, you're going to have to go back and get the context of several others. And so as we look at 6, 7, and 8, he says, "I manifested thy name to men whom thou gavest me out of the world." And he says, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word." There's several mentionings here of what has happened to believers. If you are a believer in Christ or one of the disciples, he says here, "They have kept my word." And then in verse 7, "They have come to know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee." We have come to know that what Christ has said is something that God prepared before the foundation of the world, that we would know, and that he is the revelation of God himself. And then in verse 8 he says, "For the words which thou gavest to me, I have given to them, and they received them." You know, for so many, some of your friends, some of your family, you know that people have heard the word their whole life, but they've never received it. They've never embraced it. They've never understood it. They have, it's foreign to them. It's some religion by and by. But he says, but not only did they receive it, but it says in verse 8, and truly understood that I came forth from thee. That's part of the gospel, is that we're not just believing in the latest Jesus, as Pastor Jacobs said on Sunday, you know, when he went through all the different things, you know, if you're a biker or if you're a, you know, whatever, counselor or whatever, you know, that's your Jesus or whatever. Jesus is saying to the Father, he says, they understood that what I'm saying, that the true Christ, the true Jesus, has come from the Father. And they believed that thou didst send me. That's part of the gospel that we believe. And so he says, then I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on those that thou hast given me, and they are thine. This is a phenomenal prayer, where Jesus is about to fulfill God's plan from all eternity, for him to go to his death and suffer our sin, and for him to take on our sin, and we take on his righteousness. All of this is getting ready to come to culmination, and Jesus is praying for us. He's making a petition to the Father for us. He's over and over again asking on our behalf. And then at the end, as I mentioned, he even says, and not just for the disciples, but for all those that will hear the message later on. And so here we see that this message, this prayer, has such power, not only for Jesus in that moment as he prayed to his Father before his death, but for all Christians throughout all ages. And it should be something that we should read more often, and read often. Then in verse 14, let's pick back up. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so the message here is, you know, why has the world hated us? Because we're not of the world, because we've been bought with a price, because he has given us his word. We believe in the Father and the Son. And in this present evil world, we have a new heart. We have a new interest. We have new desires. We have a new master. And so we are separated from the world in that sense, but not taken out of the world. We ask ourselves, why are we not of this world? Well, it goes back to John 3 with Nicodemus coming to Christ, and the Lord's telling him that he must be born again, must be born anew. We're not of this world because we're not, we've been born anew from this world into a new and living way. Let's look back at 1 John in the 5th chapter, and he says in verses 4 and 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How much more powerful does that get? I mean, that's the gospel in a nutshell right there. So, at the second part of verse 14, Jesus says, even as I am not of the world. And Christ was never of the world. He was holy and innocent and separate from sinners. He was exalted above the heavens, as it says in Hebrews 7. John, if we go back a few chapters in the Gospel of John to John 8, we're able to see there in 22, he says, here's a discussion with the Jews, and the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And then you skip down to 27. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus was not of the world. He dealt with these Sadducees and Pharisees, the Judaizers, and they never understood. Do you notice when you read the Gospels that most of the time that they got upset was whenever Jesus associated himself with the Father, because to them that was blasphemy. Nobody could talk about that. You know, you can't say that you're from the Father. You can't say that he sent you. You can't say that he gave you these words. You can't say I and the Father are one. And so they never understood. And here we find in verse 14, Jesus saying, you know, I am not of the world. I gave you the word, and the world hated you because of the word. In 1 John 3, it says, do not marvel if the world hates you. And at the end, in verse 9, Jesus says, I ask on their behalf, for they are thine. So as if we look to the end of the prayer, Jesus says to his righteous Father, he says, although the world has not known you, yet I have known thee. He, over and over, this, the parallelism, the theme does not change. It's a relationship between the Son and the Father, and how the Son is transferring that relationship to the believers that he is about to die for. And so this is why this passage just unfolds so beautifully for us, is that God in Christ beseech the Father in our stead over and over again for all these reasons. Well, we're at verse 15, and he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Interestingly, there are three people in the scripture. Moses, and I think it's Numbers 11, Elijah in 1 Kings 19, and Jonah in chapter 4. They all ask to be taken out of the world. And I guess from what one guy, you may remember Bishop Ryle, he says that it's probably the only three prayers that were not granted in the scriptures. These people that we look up to, that we read about, that we know so about, they came to the point of despair and wondering, you know, what do I do? What do I, you know, how do I survive all of this? And they asked to be taken out of the world, but yet in Moses' situation, when Moses says, you know, I can't speak, I stumble and I stammer, and God says, I will be your voice. I will speak for you. And then he gives him Aaron. This is what happens to us so often in our lives. We get to the point of despair with our kids, or with, you know, something, you know, our job, our neighbors, our church. It doesn't seem to happen here, but there's times in our life where we get to the very end and we don't know what to do next. And yet, in that moment, we want to be taken out of the situation, and yet God has put us in that situation for his purpose, for his kingdom. And as we look at this passage over and over again, Jesus says that he's given us this situation. He put us in this place so that the world would know that he was sent, so that the world would know that he was the Christ, so that the world would know that he was sent from the Father. So instead of being removed from the world, rather we should be sanctified by the truth, the Holy Spirit giving us the word to do in those situations that we don't know what to do, his truth that says that Christ was separated. We do, you know, a lot of times we don't know, how can I not, I don't want to be of the world, but I don't want to also be taken out of the world. And what is that fine line? How do I live? You know, what do I say? And in those moments, that's where God's word teaches us. That's where God's word comes in and gives us the answer for what we need to do, or gives us the peace to you know, labor through that situation. And so in the meantime, while we are here in this world, James Boyce says, we are to be as Christ in the world. We are to be, as verse 18 says, as thou didst send me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And so, in like the whole book of Ephesians, where over and over again the apostle says that we should be in Christ, that we should be like Christ, that's our life while we're still on this earth. Not to be taken out, but to be Christ before the world, to be Christ before our children, to be Christ disciples in every situation. And so his mission is our mission. And we are sent because he was sent. And we're one because the Father and Christ were one. And we are loved because the Father loved the Son. And we know the Father because Christ has revealed him to us, and Christ has made known his name for us. So how do we pray for our missionaries, for ourselves, for our family, for one another? We need to pray that we know how to live in the world, but set apart for Christ. Not sanctimonious, but that we know that I have been given this place in my life to live for Christ. And I don't know what all the answers are. I don't know what I'm going to do in this moment, but I know the Lord is with me, rather than being exempt from the world and escaping. One of the interesting things that I think when we look at the beginning of this prayer, notice that the very first thing that Jesus says, he says, and Jesus spoke, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. How many times do you remember in the New Testament Jesus saying, this is not my hour, the hour has not come, over and over again? And so here, in the point at which Jesus understands that his hour has come, the completion of all salvation history, he says, I want to plead for those who will follow me, the ones that are still here. And he says, Holy Father, keep them in thy name. And so we are not kept because we try harder. We're not kept because we memorize more scripture. We're not kept because we attend better and we attend the right church, and because we don't, you know, smoke, drink, or chew, or go with the girls that do, you know, whatever. We aren't kept because of our obedience. Our obedience only comes by living with Christ. And as he lives through us, we are able to be his disciples. But we can't do it on our own. We are kept by his name, by his spirit working through the scriptures. An interesting passage is kind of a strange one, where the Lord is speaking to Abimelech, the king, And he tells the king that you didn't do evil in this situation with Abraham. He says, because I kept you from sinning against me. And so there's two things going on here. Either God keeps us by his spirit, or he keeps us by providence, by the things that he does for us. In Jeremiah 32, it says, I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. And so the spirit comes into our hearts so that we don't depart from him. How many of you remember in the movie The Chariots of Fire, where the masseuse guy, right before the 400-meter race, he passes a note, and I can't remember if it was from the American or if it was from the masseuse, but he says on that little note, it says, them that honor me, I will honor. Great little nugget by a secular movie producer about a true story about Eric Little, missionary to China, who won the 1924 Olympics, he won it in the 400 meter. Them that honor me, I will honor. The Spirit will come in and honor you in those times when you've hidden his word in your heart. You know, one of my favorite passages is, well, we're getting ready to study it here on Wednesday night. I don't know if John did it last week or not, but Psalm 119:11, 9 through 11, it says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do you keep your way clear? By paying attention to God's word. With all my heart I sought to thee. So it's not just reading the Bible and I know a lot of the Bible, but with all my heart I sought thee. Oh, let me not stray from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. That's the power of God working through his spirit and his word in our hearts. And then there's also through his providence. In 1 Corinthians 10, that important passage says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape also so that you may be able to endure it. And then the reason that I had us sing a hymn that we did this, it was from 2 Timothy 1. One of the ways that God's providence works in our lives is that as God keeps us by his name, as we are his children, then we have the confidence to say, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. He's the one that keeps me every day. And so this is how you can pray for one another. This is how you can pray for yourself. This is how Jesus prayed to his Father. And what I'd like to do, if you turn, or just listen, but if we go to the end of John's Gospel, one of the most phenomenal passages that is there, we'll end with this. It says, many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What we've read tonight was written and conferred on us by the power of the Holy Spirit in this word, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would you stand with me as we close for prayer? Heavenly Father, keep us in thy name, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.